This work, joint work with my PhD student Matthias Sommer, who actually did the work, but he couldn't be at two places at the same time. So, since we had quite a lot of examples from the traffic domain, that makes easy for me to motivate the example. I'm talking about prediction and traffic control. First of all, I wanted to show you that traffic is an interesting domain for applying self-organized approaches. So on the left side, what I brought you here is the current state of the art in traffic control. This means traffic engineers already know for a couple of decades that traffic behavior is nearly always the same. You can categorize it everywhere around the world into mainly four categories. Mondays to Thursdays, traffic behaves the same. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays are the next categories. So the diagram shows you the vehicles per 15 minutes on the y-axis and the course of the day on the x-axis, and you can see, well, obviously Monday to Thursday we've got the typical morning rush hours, the typical afternoon rush hours, fast drop. We've got lower traffic patterns on Saturday and Sunday, and that's it. Traffic engineers use this to define their signalizations, etc. What I now show you on the right side is one example from Karlsruhe, Germany, so I'm sure you know that. You have two lines from two consecutive Sundays. So you can see the blue line is actually quite similar to the black line on the left side. And these were two normal Sundays, June 20th, 2010, and 1 week later. But what you can now observe, if you consider the red curve, that something is completely different 1 week later than before. And this is related to something that didn't happen in Germany at all. It happened in South Africa. So a football match took place where Germany at least beat England 4-1. And
yeah.
Sorry.
Let's celebrate a little bit. That's good.
I lived in England for 7 months, so it's quite
different.
Important for me to know everyone. Okay, but that was not the fact that I wanted to show you. The fact is that we have completely different traffic pattern. We have an abrupt drop of about 75%, which is in traffic control something you don't even think about that this could happen. Yeah? And as I said, for traffic engineers, are quite good in adapting to this blue curve, but they don't have any chance at all to adapt to this red curve. That means what we need is an adaptive traffic light signalization. We need self-organized coordination, which means just green wave, progressive thickness systems, dynamic route guidance, etc. But not the way traffic engineers are doing it now, but in a more self-organized way and at runtime in correspondence to current traffic situations. So this is my motivation. The next part I want to talk about is the current status of what we are doing in organic traffic control, which is the corresponding project HubbleTrack always already noticed. Then I will talk about prediction, why we need prediction, and how we do this in our project, show you some evaluation results, and conclude the talk. So first of all, organic traffic control. Since you all are probably not that familiar with traffic control, I just brought one simplified example to explain you some basics. The problem is we want to choose green times according to the current traffic conditions. And therefore, you can consider different control strategies. The main signalization that are applied here in cities all around the world is a fixed time control. There are other traffic adaptive solutions, but today we are just talking about the fixed time control. I brought here one four-armed artificial intersection as one example. What you can see is here, streams running from east to west and so on, four-armed intersection. You've got turning movements, you can
from each incoming section, you can go to each outgoing section, and you've got detectors in the street in the streets, induction loops that can just count how many cars pass this checkpoint. And then you can build such a signalization plan where you say this turning movement received the right of way together, these together, and so on. And for my simple example, we've got four-phased signal plan. For that, you can define this is what traffic engineers are doing, the signalization times, which means in the first 10 seconds, these two traffic lights receive the right way, which means green times, then both have yellow, then all the traffic lights are red, so that no accidents appear. Next phase, and so on. In some, in my example, I've got 90 seconds of the cycle time, and afterwards, the whole process starts again. And this is fixed, statically fixed at urban intersections now. And what I want to have is that these green times are adopted online and in correspondence to the current traffic flows running over all these turning movements. Therefore, we developed this architecture where on the lowest layer, the system under observation and control, in this case, just the traffic light controller is performed. So this switches all the traffic lights. This controller is observable and adaptable, which means the traffic flow conditions are accessible from outside, and I can change the green time durations online. This is done by layer one, where you've got an observer that monitors the system under observation and control, does some statistical analysis, and builds a situation description which is passed over to the controller, and this controller decides about what to do next, what green times are needed. This is mainly realized by a modified variant of the learning classifier system, in our case, a modified variant of Wood 66. So the problem in machine learning and rule-based systems is that they need creative freedom. They have to generate new rules in case if they have not sufficient knowledge. This is something we don't want to have in real-world systems. So just one example, the system could try to switch all traffic lights green, not such a good idea. So what we did is that we added a second layer which is responsible for generating new knowledge, where optimization heuristics have a simulation tool. In case this component notices I have insufficient knowledge, layer 2 is activated and generates a new rule. This takes more time, so we've got here a mechanism that can react immediately while this one delivers the new knowledge later on. And yeah, finally we've got the third layer, which is the interface to the user and possibilities to communicate and collaborate with other intersection controllers. So this one runs at each intersection controller. And the project, the first phase was that we did the things that I showed before. Second phase was that we worked on self-organized coordination with respect to current traffic conditions, so green waves according to the current traffic flows. And the third phase was that we started to work on decentralized route guidance and driver information systems inspired by protocols from the internet domain. So next thing, what we now started, and for which this paper is the first step, is that we want to transform the existing OTC system from a reactive one to a proactive one, which means now our system is quite robust against disturbances like the one I showed you before, because I can't adapt to this abrupt drop, but I want to be even faster, and I want to proactively adapt to changes. This means I need some kind of forecasting component. And this is what we want to do with prediction. prediction is necessary to proactively adapt such a traffic light controller that I showed you before with these green time durations. Once I select this controller, I have to process it at least two cycles, so 90-second cycle, in this example, at least 180 seconds. That means the current situation that I'm using to select the current the next three times is based on the current traffic flow and some historical data. But means the situation might already have changed when I apply this new controller. So I would like to have the controller that covers the next 180 seconds as best as possible. Next step is that I'd like to have an on-demand generation of appropriate knowledge. When I said before that the layer one component works only on existing tested knowledge. And I now want to have the possibility that my system automatically says, well, there might be a next situation where I don't have any knowledge. I start layer two in advance and have this knowledge available when the time and when the system appears there. And third one is I want to detect shortages and disturbances in advance. If I'm predicting the behavior of traffic streams for all turning movements, I can aggregate this information and build intelligent algorithms that tell me at this point in the whole network, I might have capacity problems in a few minutes. And I want to adapt to that project. So these are the three points where I want to apply prediction. If you then have a look at the state of the art, you can mainly distinguish between four categories of how you can do prediction. First is quite easy, time series analysis, trend detection, extrapolation of trends, etc. Second one is that you remember this picture from the beginning. Traffic normally behaves in these classes. I can identify which day I have or which curve I have to consider. Just have a look at the curve next 5 minutes, should be that value, and take that one. Or third one is that I can use machine learning techniques like artificial neural networks, Bayesian networks, etc. that you train according to historical data, and okay, there are some further approaches. If you now analyze the alternatives you have, you can say that most of the approaches are far too limited for that what I wanted to have. If you again remember the drop in this in my motivating example, that's something I had problems to predict with all these techniques. They work quite good if you have this normal traffic patterns, but they don't work good on this disturbed situation. So the most promising solution is to use artificial neural networks. For those who are not so familiar with them, I brought you just a short example for how to apply them to traffic control. This is the variant of the feed-forward network. You have got some input neurons where you put the flow values of the traffic situations in. Then you have got directed weighted graph, where the output value of the neuron is passed over. You calculate something within the neuron, have another output value, and at the end of the neural network, the predicted flow comes out. That is a very simplified approach. The task here is that I've got input, this set of traffic flow values. I want to have as output the next traffic flow value or at some point x in the future, and I have to consider this for each turning movement. So I'm not forecasting one value for the whole intersection controller, but one for each turning movement. Then if you have a look at the AN domain, you can distinguish between single task and multitask learning, which basically defines the number of output neurons you have. Single task learning means that I have just the desired forecast for some time t, and multitask then it means that I have additional outputs for example, t minimized on 1 and t plus 1. So what we did is that we implemented several different solutions of artificial neural networks and compared their results and tried them heuristically to choose the best setting that we were able to find. What we found out is that the Elman-style artificial network is the one that gives the best solutions compared to and what we see in setup is that I've got 5 traffic flow values, the last 5 activation points of choosing the next traffic light controller. Then you've got 10 hidden neurons, and you've got 3 output neurons for the values of t minus 1 to t plus 1. As activation function, we've got the sigmoid activation function, and the special thing in common style networks is that we've got another additional context layer where the nodes C1 to C10 receive information from the particular hidden neurons and pass it back in the next step. This is especially, performs especially well for tasks where you've got something like a sequence pitch, because you store some kind of memory of the past step, pass over to the next step, and that's what basically is stored there. So that's quite good for that, what we need. Some evaluation, we use the AngstrLMG Professional 6.0 traffic simulator, which is a professional tool that traffic engineers are using when they are deciding about their actual traffic simulation setup. And we've got models of intersections at Hamburg, Germany. We have traffic data provided by local authorities, census data from 2009 and 4 classes, according to these traffic protocols that I showed you before. We have the actual city innovation that is applied there in Hamburg. And we run the OTC control synchronization, wrote all the observed traffic data to CSV files, and use them to train the artificial neural networks. So first thing I want to show you is the performance of the artificial network compared to the ideal traffic stream, because I have the data that I put in there, and which is the red line. You see the whole course of 1 day on the x-axis, and the y-axis shows you the traffic flow for one street and in vehicles per hour. And what you can see here is that the blue curve fits quite well with the ideal curve. To put this into figures, I show you some results for all 4 categories. We've got a root mean square error in cars ranging from 48.9 cars to 30.9 cars for the Sonica, which is a deviation ranging from 4.6 to 2.9%. This is the result for the best network that we found, for the best setup. If we have a short look at a comparison of different neural network types, I just consider 3 here. We tested a set of other variants. Before, what you show in the type in the first example, Elman, I showed you in more detail. John type network is that the context layer is not connected to the hidden neurons but to the output. But they have the same idea. What you can see here is that for single task learning, the John style network is the best one, but overall, the best one is the Elman style network with multitasking. Okay, the last line just shows you that the improvement of the multitask learning procedure compared to the single task procedure is highest what people use. Okay, that brings me to the summary of the talk. I spent quite a lot of time to tell you about the automatic traffic control for a G project and to show you that traffic control in general is an interesting application domain for embedded self-organized systems. So what the system following this architecture is able to do is that we have an adaptation of traffic signalization in correspondence to current traffic situations. We have another possibility for self-organized coordination, decentralized route guidance, etc. The next step that we are doing now is that we want to turn this system into a resilient, proactive system, wherefore we need predictions. And the purpose of this paper was to find out which is the most promising approach to do predictions in our OTC system. We compared, first of all, we had a look what kind of techniques can we use. Decided that the best one, most promising one, is an artificial network, and then figured out which setup, which kind of network is the best one. And in our case, it's the setup that I showed you, would be Arnold-Stein network. Yeah, what we want to do now is that we want to integrate this into the online system. So now we did an offline evaluation of the prediction component based on real data from the simulation. And we would now want to do a prediction within the OTC system, meaning that we want to proactively choose the traffic light controllers, that we want to use the prediction with a longer time horizon to proactively generate the missing knowledge, and integrate this in progressive signal systems, etc. To have an increased resilience in the OTC, it means that we want to develop these algorithms that detect shortages by using predictions, meaning we now know that traffic flows will build there in a few minutes, they will increase, and I will probably have capacity problems over there, and then improve the route guidance through trying sensitive route combinations. Yeah, and then finally, the same question that we always have in organic computing systems is, can we generalize this this application scenario in order to get insights that are applicable to the domain that we see? And that's it. Thank you very much for your.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions? So?
Your question. Actually, two related questions. I was wondering the initial motivation that you presented at the beginning.
Yep.
So the motivation of this work was about being able to adapt in reaction to unexpected events such as the FIFA Cup. Then you seem to concentrate your contribution on prediction based on historical data.
The thing is, I have this this normal track patterns, and I think there's This is the easiest part to predict, because that's what engineers already care. But if I have if I train it with these disturbances, I can also detect this. I didn't show it to you, but that's what I'm currently doing. That I'm trying to detect this, and the results show that we have a little bit of a problem to get this part about, but afterwards. It works quite well. So it works, but you saw I have about 50 cars of deviation. Same as for disturbance situation.
So, and the related question would be, you're only using traffic-related data for the prediction?
Yeah.
So have you maybe, you mentioned it in the future, or I wasn't sure, have you considered correlating information and predictions of
You mean correlating information like from other intersections?
Yes, because if you have a bottleneck at one intersection, there's no missing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But there you've got the problem that if you consider the prediction of the neighbor and the neighbor considers your prediction and so forth, you might run into oscillating problems. So we said,
but traffic should have a direction of problems.
Yeah, but you have traffic in all directions. Because if you consider my street level intersection, you do the forecast for all turning movements. So if in each concept traffic running to there, running to that, etc. And your neighbor here would take the aggregate value of these three into account, adapt to that, do some kind of prediction, and pass this over to this node, where it has to consider this for those three streams. So what we did in the OTC project so far is that we did a local optimization and ignored all the neighbors, and took them only into account in case that we want to do something together, like coordination or route guidance. So I think the promising thing is to keep that simple for the prediction, and not to try to get the absolutely perfect prediction due to neighboring informations, but to have this ground truth and then build more intelligent algorithms upon this, based on the simple things.
Nevertheless, when you have information from the neighboring nodes, then you know more about what kind of situation will come.
Right.
So, yeah, and so it might be a benefit. Certainly, if we look at the chart that you showed, we were quite close to the real development there. But the other point is there might be information, like your example that you showed in the beginning, was an effect that was not really coming from any traffic situation, but from a TV event, from broadcast of a football match.
Right.
So it might be of interest to look at typical other information that might influence your traffic, like a special sports event or a concert or things like that,
right,
which could influence the traffic patterns that you might see in the future.
Right. But on the other hand, that's what traffic engineers are doing. If they know there's a football match happening in Hanover, the traffic engineers know, okay, now we've got traffic stretching, approaching traffic to the stadium, and 2.5 hours later we've got departing traffic. But that is limited to the knowledge that you can put in there. You cannot adapt to a football match that takes place in South Africa.
But the effect was due to the broadcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But you don't want to put the current TV program into your signalization program.
Okay, more questions.
It's a similar question again regarding the dip due to the soccer game. I'm always suspicious about black box mechanisms like an ANN.
Mm-hmm.
They magically come up with a prediction. They need some prior knowledge, some historical knowledge in order to predict something in the future. Now, in this case, there is no prior development, which is similar. So what is the informational basis that is used by this ANN to predict that after this, and it can only look at the first tiny dip of
mm-hmm.
the curve,
yep.
And based on that, it can predict that there will be a dip down to 100. How can this?
No,
be?
No. You're not predicting that dip. You're always talking about the next time step. So as soon as you're on this.
Right. But this means, yes, I would have expected that. But then this means that your prediction horizon can be only very short term.
Yeah.
Is it enough? And this is then the question for your decision mechanism in the controller. Is this time horizon enough to change the switching behavior sufficiently?
Yeah, that's the question. But if I consider this result curve, then I can tell you what the problem is. Currently, this abrupt increase in the morning rush hour is our main problem when we use OTC, because here the increase is so far strong that I've got a controller reflecting this situation when I'm already there.
Yes,
and that in our simulations with the realistic traffic data from Hamburg. The problem is that due to this effect, our network gets crowded very, very fast. And what we did is that we tried to give them the simulation predefined strategy, saying, okay, you're now using this parameter set, what I want to have, and I don't have that problem. So this means if I could be just a little bit faster here, I can avoid this problem,
yeah.
This congestion.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely, I see your point that in normal situations, there will be not such a big benefit. But in these situations, that's exactly what I would like.
So I have two questions that are related to this. The first one is, there is a source of outside information that correlates with traffic behavior, and that's weather information.
Yeah, okay.
So it seems to me that at least things like weather information could be a fairly straightforward. I mean, local thunder showers are still not that local.
Yeah.
Right. So there is some hope of taking data that already exists and incorporating it to adjust this. But the second thing is that I just don't know how some of these sensors work, but my question is, so suppose you have a serious accident. So it blocks, for example, all the lanes of traffic in one direction at an intersection for 40 minutes,
right.
a fairly typical situation.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible, first of all, for the sensors to sense that there's no traffic flow sufficiently, and how would you use that?
That there's no traffic flow, it's quite simple, because you've got these sensors or detection loops, and in case that no car is moving,
right?
Yeah, you've got the information that there's no traffic flow. Yeah.
But you don't know, so you know there's no traffic flow, but you don't know how many cars are there.
Right,
because it's local.
And you don't know why, because
right.
It could be due to congestion, accidents, whatever, but it could also be that there's just no car that wants to drive.
Right, but because you have no adjacent information, if you build up a backlog, you now start blocking multiple signals.
You're absolutely right. That's a problem what you have in traffic control, but that's not considered key. Because you're right. I have to detect accidents, or all kind of incidents, but. That's hardly done with only these induction loops. So the concept that we have is we use the infrastructure that is already there,
mm-hmm.
put nothing else in, use it just as it is, and try to make an intelligent system. And I think the problem that you see is something, therefore, I will need video devices or whatever else.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of those are things that I see as, yes, it requires external information, but it's actually external information that probably exists in an easy form to
right,
find.
Right. But that's the other way around to make the system better,
that
you put in more information. Mm-hmm. And I want to work on the existing one and trying to make it this way better.
Okay.
One last question.
Yeah. Considering the load prediction, also control other intersections with some group within it, and then predict within this group and overlap with another group in order to have that prediction from most, and if this actually is the same prediction, it would achieve an even more global one. And so the question would be, is it possible actually within the current, that the hardware is currently within this intersection, groups these. And
we're using the infrastructure as it is. What I didn't say is that we assume that we have connection devices between all these intersection controllers. There are installations where you have the SCAD, STUD, whatever systems, they are doing something like that, but they are communicating with one central instance. You can reuse them and say, okay, they're communicating. You define who can communicate with whom, select one leader, and then you've got that what you want to have.
We also have the regional controllers.
Yeah, and
we have these concepts.
Yeah, I think that would be a quite interesting approach to try
Yeah, but that's what I said. It's just the starting point for the next phase, which is what I presented here. And, what I like is that you all see the problems that are there, and that there's quite a lot of work to be done. And, that's a good point.
So, thank you.
Okay, thank you.